What's going on, good people? Welcome to episode 20 of the David Ashley Podcast. It is my birthday. It is my 40th birthday. So, you know, shoot me a text message. Make your boy feel good. You know what I'm saying? Go shoot the, go hit the IG page, the Facebook page. So today I'm going to talk about my favorite birthday, my favorite and most memorable birthdays. What were some of your, you know, like favorite and most memorable birthdays that you've ever had? I'm going to talk about my family's birthday rituals. You might find that interesting. I'm going to talk about perspective and what money means to you. Does money buy you happiness? I don't know. My answer might be different than other people's. All that and more on episode 20 of the David Ashley Podcast. Special birthday episode, 40th Scorpio birthday episode on Tuesday, November 15th, 1979 in St. Anthony's Hospital. A beautiful bouncing baby boy was born to one Francine Terry Ashley and one David Earl Hildreth. The world was blessed on that day. Do you understand me? The world was blessed on that day. Let's get it. So I'm going to cook right now, but in a different way. So I want to take a moment to honor and remember my big brother, Craig Stephen Ashley. Craig passed away back in 2008, on June 13th, 2008. But Craig would have been 50. A family we have I just grew up with myself, my mom, and my brother. So my birthday was on the 15th. His birthday was on the 17th. And my mom's birthday was on the 22nd. And our, on each other's birthday, we had the option to, you know, whether we wanted to go to school or not. And whatever the case, whoever's birthday it was, the other two had to wait on the birthday person hand and foot. And, you know, I went first, so I would milk it. You know, I would milk it for all it was worth. My mom would make me a lemon cake every year. I would milk it for all it was worth, not realizing that my brother's birthday was 2 days later. And he was going to milk it. And then my mom was going to milk it most of all. You know what I mean? So that was just something great we used to do. Interesting, we used to do every year. And as a matter of fact, now I'm going home next week to my mom's birthday is a week after mine. She turned 70 this year. So I turned 40. My brother would have turned 50. My mom turned 70. And so what we do now in place of that, since I live away, is, you know, she'll make me call her 12 times during the day. just torturous. She tried to hit me with it today. I was like, nah, my birthday come first. We talk about yours later. So Big Bro was, he did something for me that I'll talk about later in the episode. But man, Craig was, you know, there was a time right before I moved to LA where my mom and I would go up to his house in Blue Island, Chicago, and we would just make it an all-nighter. We would play Scrabble, and then we would play Monopoly, just 4 hours minimum. And I swear to God, just that it was some of the most fun and memorable times of my life, honestly, because it, you know, my some of my favorite laughter, my favorite noises in the world, sounds to hear is the sound of my mom and my brother and my dad laughing. So during those times with my mom and my brother, it was just, I don't know. It was the most we had ever laughed together. And it was just memorable, man. And you think about those times during some of the harder times. So there was one time my brother, he was about 25, so I was about 15. We were at my mom's house, and so he was sitting like in the middle, like right in front of the TV. I was sitting like off to the side. My mom had come up and she sat on the other side of him, of Craig, but she sat kind of like to the back. So it was like he didn't really know she was there. So anyway, this commercial came on television. It was about domestic violence, and not to laugh at it, but the man said, "I didn't know how hard I hit her until I saw my handprint on her face." And it caught my brother off guard, and he was like, "Damn, he slapped the dog shit out of her." And my mom was like, "Craig." She was like, "Craig," like, and the look on his face was just utter shock and awe. Cause we didn't cuss in front of moms. My mom was so mad, and Craig was so sorry. But here's 15-year-old David on the other end. I laughed so hard for like 7 minutes straight, and my brother's trying to keep a straight face and apologize to my mom, but he can't because I'm laughing so hard. God, I never forget that day, ever. And you know what I'm saying? I would tease him about it every once in a while. Man, we used to do this thing where, and it was just between him and I, where we heard my mom get in an argument with one of our uncles years ago. And she said, she was walking away, and everybody was like, "What's wrong, friend?" And she was like, "Nothing. Ollie's sleepy." And I thought it was I was like 7, 8 years old. I thought it was the dopest shit anybody could say. You know what I mean? So just going through the years when mama would start tripping about something, that's what Craig and I would say. Be like, "Man, mama's sleepy. That's all." You know what I mean? We would, we wouldn't quite do the these nuts jokes, but like one day, she told Craig to wash the dishes or something happened. I don't know. And Craig was like, "Man, wash these." And like, she was like, "What?" And she was like, "Nothing." And it's just funny because between me and him, we would say it under our breath, but obviously she didn't know what was going on. Man, Craig was cool. You know, everybody listening to me say this who knew him would definitely agree. Everybody loved him. He was one of the funniest people ever. Like, if you had a big stomach and you were like standing by him, obviously he had to know you, but he would like, he would touch your stomach as if to poke a hole in it, like it was a balloon, and then make the noise like, whoosh, whoosh, like he was deflating your stomach, and it would catch people off guard, and it was the funniest thing ever, man. Just his laugh, man. Like I said, like when I came to LA for the first time, for the BET Awards, and Big Dave came out, my homeboy, and you know, he got to hang with Craig, and that was a big moment for me, for my brother to meet my best friend, and you know what I'm saying? Then after that, we was all cool, you know what I'm saying? "Oh, tell Big Dave I said what up, tell Craig I said what up." But walked away, we split up at the party, you know, next thing I know, he chilling with Suge Knight. And, like, seriously. Like, he got a picture with Suge Knight just on his, you know, Craig is hanging out with, like, Suge Knight's elbow is on his shoulder. Like, you know what I'm saying? He got a cigar. You know, Megan Good, Russell Simmons. He just chilling. He just doing him, man. He was the kind of cool that everybody gravitated to. And man, I miss him. I miss my big bro, man. And yeah, this is about it, because if I keep talking, definitely gonna cry. So shout out to my big bro. His favorite movie was Let's Do It Again. And as an honor to him, I watch it every year. If you've never seen it, it's with Bill Cosby, Sidney Poitier, J.J. Walker, John Amos. Actually, Biggie Smalls got his name from that movie because one of the hustlers was named Biggie Smalls. And he said, call me Biggie. Calvin Lockhart, who was also in Coming to America and whatever. So anyway, look that up. Little piece of history there. And, you know, so Sunday, you know, I'm going to watch Let's Do It Again. As a matter of fact, it's on YouTube for free right now. So in honor of my big brother, a.k.a. Deuce, had the curl back in the day, had the cardigan, the true cardigan. I wanted one, you know. Anyway, man, I could go on and on about big bro, but I'm going to stop. So, all right, Craig, Stephen, Ashley, Deuce. What up, Cut? Shout out to Stefan, Michelle, and Jada. His beautiful children. What were some of your most memorable birthdays? I couldn't really remember any birthdays that I had that were, I guess, special when I was younger. So for me, the first one starts with my 12th birthday. You know, I'm in a new school, a new middle school, and yeah, I invited, you know, my mom said I could have a party. Of course, we got the Little Caesars pizza on deck. That was the birthday party pizza because it came in two. I probably had a cake, and it was myself and 10 other kids. I remember Lay brought me a poster, Chicago Bulls poster with Michael Jordan, Horace Grant, Scottie Pippen, Bill Cartwright, John Paxson, and B.J. Armstrong. I never forget it. I kept it to the right of my window, like in a thumbtack. On a thumbtack, I kept it on my wall. And it was just 10, 11, and 12-year-old boys sitting around trying to dance. It was white, Mexican, black, you know. It's funny like what age does to us, because the older you get, the more you kind of concentrate in on your group, you know what I mean? Or at least I did. You know, I know it happens a lot depending on the makeup of your neighborhood, but I just found that interesting. But we sat around telling jokes. This part of this used to be on video, but Ray Rock punk ass stole the video, then lost it, which also had a fifth grade championship basketball game on there. Anyway, don't even get me started. I gave it to Lade, and Ray Rock took it from him. Anyway, I'm about to get angry all over again. So, yeah, a bunch of 11 and 12-year-olds just sitting around telling jokes. Like, I remember Jason Webb told somebody, your mama's so small she can hang glide off a Dorito or some shit like that. Just the dumbest. I think somebody else was like, what is that? Your mama got a wooden leg, and her name, we call her Eileen or some shit like that. Just some timeless, stupid shit that would never, ever not be funny. And then we like danced. I remember seeing Mike Caston, you know what I'm saying, one of my wife friends, just trying to get it in. Vinny, even though Vinny, we weren't going to the same school then, but man, just great times, man. That was the 12th birthday. The second one, so by this time I've upgraded, right? 13. And I'm looking, I'll put this in the pictures on the Instagram, but my dad, made me a flyer. So for those of you who don't know, my dad was an artist, a sign painter, a DJ. So, you know, they threw me a 13th birthday party. I remember my dad, I thought he was joking, but later he told me, he was like, look, he was like, your mama wanted to let you have a party. I was going to get you a prostitute for your 13th birthday. And it's like, damn, Pops, were you serious or whatever? Ain't no telling. He probably was. But so Firefighters Hall, Hammond, Indiana, November 16th. It was just like, I guess it was like a Saturday or something like that. And y'all can look that up. I had flyers. I passed out the flyers. And it was just, you know, we invited. This time it was boys and girls. And I remember my mom being like nervous because, you know, back then we would dance. It would be like a guy and a girl, like all in the line. You know, this is like 93, you know? This is 92. So just imagine the music at the time. You know what I mean? We got Murder, She Wrote. We got Shy. We got all of that. We got Kells was just starting to bump. We got TLC. God, man. Just a great time. Then I had a sleepover after that, man. And it was a great time, man. Great time. 13th birthday party. The next one was my 17th birthday. Didn't have a party or anything. But I remember going to see Set It Off. And, you know, this was, you know, maybe 9 years into what I call the golden era of black film, which started to me in 87. And I tell you, man, watching Jada Pinkett, who I already had a crush on, and Queen Latifah, and Vivica Fox, and Kimberly Elise, watching them rob bank, like, to this day, Set It Off is my favorite movie. And I say that because Set It Off, Best Man and Love Jones are my favorite film, you know. But I just remember being transfixed. It was my 17th birthday, and the reason I remember it is obviously it was a good movie, but my brother's then wife at the time got her purse stolen. And I remember feeling bad because I was like, oh man, they took me here. They brought me to this movie and her purse got stolen. But just, I mean, Set It Off, man. Come on, man. You said we weren't going to hurt anybody, Frankie. I think I did this last week. That's one of my favorite lines. Frankie want to blow up the bank. Yo, this was Queen Latifah's best role ever to me. You know, and it's a shame that I think she should have got nominated for an Oscar. But I think, you know, if you look at the movie The Town, and listen, movies have to have certain beats, right? Certain kind of movies, heist movies or whatever. But the movie The Town is just Set It Off, you know, note for note. So if you ever get a chance to compare the two, I implore you to do that. Set It Off, great film, directed by F. Gary Gray. She says, I'm in a bind, Nate, some other time. I was like, ugh, that was too bad. So the next birthday is the one that changed my entire life. It was my 18th birthday, November 15th, 1997. My brother and his then wife, Nicole, same one who got her purse stolen the year before, took me to TNT Comedy Hookup. And this was a small comedy club in Lansing, Illinois, attached to Outrigger's Seafood Restaurant. And so I've always been a fan of comedy. I remember watching Comic Strip Live when I was, you know, younger. And, you know, the first comedian for me that really made me laugh, like that I watched on my own, excuse me, was Sinbad. Sinbad would have these specials, and just to this day, you can throw that on, and I'm dying, you know. you know, and so, you know, being a fan of Comic View since 92, you know, I remember D.L. Hughley hosted the first season in 92, Cedric the Entertainer, he had the Comedy Crockpot 93, I think Don D.C. Curry was third, Samore was fourth, I remember, I think Gary Owens was fifth, so on and so forth. And so, you know, a big fan of comedy. So I get to this comedy club and I see Deion Cole, D-Ray, B. Cole, and like Leon Rogers and Damon Williams. And when I tell you, and I've already used this word again, but transfixed on the fact that, like I said, I was a fan of comedy, but I never realized you can make somebody topple over in laughter like that. And my stomach was hurting, you know, and that was the night that I said, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. This right here, this is what I'm going to do. And just to set the scene, basketball wasn't going well. There were two players, one All-State, Eric Jackson, one All-American, Tyre Pearson, transferred to my school at the last minute. So, you know, my coach was, you know, whatever. He wasn't really a good coach. He just got blessed with a lot of talent, but he, you know, he didn't really play a rotation outside of the five men. So it was like, yo, this is my spot. My hoop dreams are gone. And, you know, we were right before the season and just things weren't going well. And so I remember telling my mom, yo, I'm going to skip college and I'm going to be a comedian. And my mom was about as dark as me. And I saw her face go turn white. But, you know, word to mother, she was like, oh, okay. You know, she supported me. She still does, you know, through whatever. So what happened, you know, I started writing jokes. I think the first joke that I ever wrote was about, like, you know how when you're in school and you get in a fight in school, but it's over after like the first two punches because teachers break it up. Well, I had mastered getting the first two punches in, so it made it look like I won the fight. But one day, I got hit twice and nobody had stopped the fight. So I stopped the fight and I looked at the teachers like, what the hell is y'all doing? Didn't you just see me get hit twice? Anyway, yeah. I was like, I'm reporting y'all. Anyway, that was the first joke that I ever wrote. So all this time, I'm just like, yo, I can't wait to get on stage. I'm going to get on stage. So a week before, you know, I was going to get on stage to try my shtick, the place burned up. And I wasn't really savvy enough to get, like, to find, because this is, for me, this was pre-internet. Because I didn't really know what the internet was until my freshman year of college. I just didn't. There wasn't, like, any programs focused on in the high school or anything like that. At least I wasn't. So anyway, you know, this is what it burned up and I end up going to college anyway, obviously playing basketball, earned a scholarship, you know, and I took an acting class and then things started to morph. I started to put it together. I was like, wait, Martin is a comedian. Seinfeld is a comedian, but they're acting. They got their own show. Bet. So anyway, comedy stayed in my heart. It still is. And those of you who don't know, I did finally end up trying it. You know, if you don't know, go to my regular page and check out the two birthdays ago, my 38th birthday, which was the 20th anniversary of obviously my 18th birthday, where my big bro took me to the comedy club, which changed my life. So that's the reason I'm in LA now. It's the reason, you know, I was already a storyteller, but that journey just kind of helped it come out. So anyway, yeah, that was 18th birthday. So the next one is the 29th birthday. And this was my second LA birthday, but it was the first time I really felt like, yo, I got friends. I got people here in LA. I invited about 15 people out, and you know, to a outside bar, lounge in Marina Del Rey, and again, I'm put the pictures in there. But it was just one of the first. My homegirl Pay flew out. Paisha flew out. She was flying out for no reason back then. She didn't care. Shout out to Pay. And it was just an amazing time. I remember Sparkle. So they wanted $250 to reserve an area, and I was like, man, I ain't paying y'all no $250. So I remember Sparkle and a couple other people kind of like flooding, like we flooded an area so that people would just leave. You know, since nobody reserved it, you could sit there. But if you wanted it exclusively for you, they would charge $250. So I remember Sparkle sitting real close to this white dude, and eventually him and his date got up and left. I was like, see, this is why you my nigga. this is why we people, because, you know, like, I just appreciated it. And we had a good time, man. We had a good time that night. So the next one is my 30th birthday party. Now, my original plan for the 30th was to, move to have three parties in three nights in three different cities. Three parties in three cities, three nights in a row. But the economy all conspired against that. And is it conspired? I just used the word that I'm not sure if I used it right. Y'all check me if I used it wrong. So, yeah, man. So instead, I had to settle for a party in Chicago. I remember Faith, who I went to TSU with, from Chicago. You know, I was lurking, looking for places, and she had to party at this one place with this exposed brick. So I inboxed her. I was like, yo, how was your experience? Yada, yada, yada. She said it was great. In room 42, you know, I had a decent price. And so let me tell you about my issue with my 30th birthday party. First of all, I produced it all from here, all from LA. I found a place. I found a cake, a lady to make a cake. I found a DJ. So let me tell you what my issue was and why I'm obsessed with throwing the perfect party. So the music got to be right, okay? The DJ, I know you're not supposed to do this now, but I gave him a list of songs. And maybe, thinking back, maybe he did this in just to revolt. But I'm going to tell you one song he played there. Do You Want to Ride My Mercedes by Pebbles. I'm like, nigga, they didn't play this in the club when it was out in 88. The hell make you think I want to play this at my party, fam? And it was just now. I mean, if I talk to people, they'll tell you they had a good time. And no, it was a good time. Don't get me wrong. But music is so important. Music is so important. So anyway, man, the DJ was whack. I found this lady who make cakes. Like, you know, if you wanted a, and I'm not even exaggerating, if you wanted a six-pack of Corona, she would make a cake that looked exactly like a six-pack of Corona, right? Oh, her work was crazy. So I hit her up, and I'm like, listen, you know, what do you charge? And this is a note for the future. Like, if you tell somebody what your budget is, right, and then they can tell you what they can work with. Because otherwise, you're just playing this weird game back and forth. So I didn't know back then. So I asked her. I was like, yo, what is your budget? She said like $400 or $500. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm good. I was like, thank you. You do great work, but that's a little steep. She was like, what can you pay? I told her. She was like, cool, I could do it for that. Now, instead of just doing it, she took shortcuts. But pay, and I think Danielle, shout out to Danielle. She helped me a lot. They hid the cake from me, right? they hid the cake from me when I got there. They picked it up for me because obviously she was there. I was still in LA. They hid the cake from me and they like did this reveal because they knew, or at least Pay knew, that I was going to be shitty about it. Yo, outside looking in, people looked at this cake. They were like, well, what's the issue? I don't see the problem. But it was, she didn't do nothing I asked her to do. So when I checked her later about it, she was just like, yeah, you know, you didn't have the money. I was like, no. You don't ever do less than what I asked you. Even though I offered to let you go about your business, but you wanted the business, so I gave you the money. And anyway, all in all, people didn't know it, but I was hot. And then there's the venue. Before I get to the venue, listen, it's cool to arrive fashionably late for something. But what happened at my party, a block of guys. Okay. So I had a block of women. Oh my God. It just from TSU, from Chicago, from, you know, wherever they had showed up to the party. And what happened was there were just a few guys from the crib. And they weren't dancing. They weren't dancing with the ladies. So now you got 15 ladies on the floor just getting it in. And then finally, they was like, all right, man, we got another party to go to. And I really think that they just was like, yo, the guys, because one girl did come and tell me. She was like, yo, the guy's not dancing. What's going on? So what happened was right after those ladies left, another flock of guys came. And if they would have been there at the same time, Father God, if they had been there at the same time, it would have been something different. And on top of that, so about 3 hours before the party, so room 24 has two different rooms. One room is, you know, it fits like 300 people. The other room, like 150. I paid for the 150. They called me about 3 hours before and they say, yo, somebody pulled out. Do you want this bigger room for the same price? I was like, yeah, because I'm thinking that everybody that I invited is going to come. I'm not knowing about the shrinkage at the time, you know? And also, I was really selective with the list. Just stupid, just being stupid. You got to invite live wires who are going to get the party started. That was my problem. You got to invite 5 or 6 people who's just gonna get it on the floor regardless. I didn't do that. I was conservative, so therefore, you know, it suffered. So what happened was, you know, I think with the bigger space and with the amount of people at different times, it just made it look like it was scarce, you know. And anyway, but I still had fun. It was it was a great night, you know. It was it let me know that I kind of like to produce parties. You know, I threw my mom a surprise 65th birthday party back in 2014, and I kind of like doing, you know, small event stuff like that. So anyway, that was the 30th birthday party, and so the 31st party wasn't as fond a memory, but it was memorable in the way that I was talking to this young lady, and I had just started talking to her, like, you know, not even a month prior, and she was like, oh, you know, let me take you out. I was like, cool. So she was like, yeah, we're gonna go to, so anyway, she took me to Masa's Pizzeria, and there were friends. Somehow they got a hold of Pay, which I never know how. Oh, I think through Nate. They got a hold of my homegirl from at the crib. She was there. And just, it was like a surprise party for me at this restaurant, at this deep dish pizza restaurant. If you ever come to LA, y'all know about it. Masa's Pizzeria and Bakery in Echo Park. Authentic deep dish pizza. which I think I'm going to have today for my birthday. Ooh! Anyway. It's that good, though. So, what happened is that, you know, and then afterwards we went to the Wonderful, which was my first, no, this wasn't my first Wonderful, it was like my second Wonderful. Wonderful is like a party with all Stevie Wonder music all night, and the shit's amazing. They've recently moved it to the park, and I'm boycotting it, you know what I mean, but whatever. Just because they moved it outside, I'm like, man, if I want to boogie on Reggae Woman, come on, I ain't trying to, you know what I'm saying, I ain't trying to get it in outside in the public. Dusty and shit. I'm trying to get in the corner with some pretty young, you know, whatever. I like to be a boogie right across the floor. Boom, 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 boom. I'm sorry. I digress. So anyway, I just remember that was a weird time because the young lady thought I didn't appreciate the party. And then even people who were there were they were looking at my face like, dog, like you didn't seem surprised, you didn't seem like you were having a good time. And I really fought it for a while, but looking back I'm like, oh, I can understand. I think what happened was that I was just thrown off. I was just thrown off. The young lady brought me, you know, threw this surprise party for me. It was such a great, and she was just a, you know, a beautiful, thoughtful person like that. And who, you know, I guess just really liked me. But I just remember being just dumbfounded, like not dumbfounded, but a little like, I don't know, I was shell-shocked. I was just shocked. I was just in shock, just trying to process it all. But a pretty memorable birthday. She and I, didn't last long, and I think that wasn't the reason, but I think she just couldn't get over the fact that I wasn't super outwardly appreciative. Even though I was, I said thank you, but I just think she couldn't get over that fact. So, and plus, you know, I had some issues with the situation as well. It was a situation where I didn't choose it. Some people kind of, you know, a couple that, you know, her roommates, you know, I knew her roommate's boyfriend and they set it up. And I remember, I don't know, because I didn't do it on my own, I felt gypped. And I think that kind of stayed with me. And instead of just turning it around, I just kind of let it fade out. And anyway, we cool to this day, me and old girl. So anyway, so the last memorable birthday that I had was for my 35th birthday. I was in a relationship at the time. And the last relationship I've had, well, I mean, last official relationship I've had. And the young lady, she worked at a travel agency. So she got this like free night to this fancy ass Beverly Hills hotel. So, you know, she did the whole clue thing. I got there, and, you know, I got the dinner. Dinner was there waiting on me at the restaurant. Got back up to the room. No, I got up to the room first, and it was like some champagne and some. I was just like, okay, see you, young lady. So we stayed there for a night. Yep. And then I got like a facial the next morning. A facial or a massage? I think I got both the next morning. And then that night, you know, I had like this gathering and a whole bunch of people came, a whole bunch of folk came out, and man, you could see the video on my, like, again, on my regular Instagram page from 2014, And it was just a great time. And then afterwards, you know, we kind of finished. We kept the party going down in my apartment and danced some more and had some more drinks. And it was just a great, it was the last, like, you know, like really good birthday that I had. Like I said, I'm going to put the pictures up. I said that 8 times already. So anyway, you know, a little long-winded, but those were my most memorable birthdays, most memorable and some of my best birthday moments. And it was great. So now as I face today's birthday, you know, I got a lot of thoughts about those, and I will share them next. So, there's one more story I forgot to tell. This had to be when I think this is around my 20th birthday. And I had just gotten a car. My first car. A metallic blue 1987 blue Buick LeSabre. Man, that motherfucker was clean. Now, I wanted a Park Avenue for a long time, but you know, LeSabre, virtually the same car. I'm rolling. I'm moving out in this month, you know. And I remember I picked it up. I got it, like, my mom brought it to practice. Like, she came to pick me up in it, like, maybe like on the 13th or something like that. So I'm going back to school on the 14th. I can't wait to pull up at my school with my car, with this LeSabre, you know what I mean? I'm flicking on them factory joints. So I get in the car the next morning and I get about, I'm talking about as soon as I get to Illinois, like almost where Shakey's is, if you know what I'm saying, for those of you know. But I was taking like another route. But transmission goes out. Nigga. So I'm going up to 30 miles per hour. It wouldn't go faster than 30 miles per hour. So, but the thing is, I had already set up there. I met this young lady. Well, I ain't going. Damn it. I don't care. I ain't seen it. It's been 20 years, so it don't matter. Her name was Robin, damn it. And set up this date. You know, I had met her. You know what I'm saying? Got her number, which is something for some reason I just don't do often. But, it, you know, just strategic times. Not even strategic. Just certain times, you know what I mean? In the past, sometimes I do it easily. Sometimes I get into my head and I wait too long or whatever. So this time, it was like, cool. You know, I'm young, virile, whatever. I get a number. I caught her in the gym. And so anyway, we supposed to go see like Best Man or some shit like that. Like, you know, that coming like Friday or Saturday. So now I got to get a loaner car because this joint, you know, the transmission went out. So I get a loaner car and they give me a little Cavalier, you know, like a little Chevy Cavalier, whatever. It's cool. Like, I just remember exactly what it was, like a little two-door joint. And I remember the first song I heard in that joint was, I Ain't No Hater or Nothing, But He Can't Love You Like I Do. Nigga, when the clock strikes 12, he can't love you. Man, that was my shit. I remember that joint came on soon because I had the single. And it, back then, you get the single, they'll give you snippets for the rest of the album. And that second J.E. album was a killer. It was a sleeper. It was a killer, though. So, I'm telling you, like, I already knew what I was going to wear to the movies. I had this fire, like, FUBU sweater with the matching hat. Nigga. It was like a cream with like FUBU written in like with like a blue with like a blue stripe, wide blue stripe across the stomach, but with FUBU written in the cream letters, and a hat to match, like a beanie joint. Nigga, you don't understand. See, because I wanted a Coogee back then. I couldn't bring myself to pay for it. So that, you know what I'm saying, and I worked at a clothing store too. And nigga, my sweater game was on fire back then. Shout out to Cuzzo. Between Dante and I, we had the sweater game on lock. I'm talking about Enichi. I'm talking about FUBU, Fat Farm, Maurice Malone. So anyway, you know, and I probably had just gotten my little refund check too. That's how I got the car. So anyway, you know what I'm saying? I got this day set up. I got the outfit set up. I got the little B-boots, you know, little suede B-boot joints, you know. And so I call and I'm just like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Just confirming, just making sure. I said, but by the way, my transmission went out. You know, I got a little loaner car. And she was just like, oh. I was like, oh, what's the problem? Because ain't no cell phones. I'm calling from the crib, you know. I ain't get a cell phone till like maybe like that next year. And so she was just like, oh, well, what kind of loan do you got? Well, I got none. I got a little, you know, a little joint to get me from A to B. Got a little Cavalier, you know. She's like, yeah. I think my cousin is sick. And I was like, oh, she gonna hit me with my cousin's sick shit. She's like, yeah, and my aunt is going to be working, so she want me to be there. I'm just like, yo. I'm like, it's all good. You know, do your thing. Whatever. And, but, you know, monkey don't stop no show, so I go to the movies anyway. You know what I mean? And again, it wasn't no buying tickets online. You had to buy your ticket when you got there. This is like 99. Nigga, I got there. Who do I see? I'm talking about as soon as I get there, who do I see in the middle of the theater? Stankin' ass. She right there. She act like she ain't even see me. And, it wasn't like I was about to make no scene or nothing. Like, I ain't that guy. But still. I was like, wait till I get my rims. And wait till I get my beat in the trunk. I like my beat down low and my top lip back. I was a little disappointed. Helpful. But later on, let me shut up. Happy birthday, Dave. So, my 30s are over. And I'm 40 years old. It's, you know, I think, I think about it in a few different ways. On one hand, I am, you know, not that I was out there thugging, but, I know. Between friends and acquaintances growing up in Hammond, I know 40 people that have been murdered. You know, one as recently as last week. So I'm fortunate to be on this side. I'm fortunate to have made it here. I'm fortunate to still kind of know what I want to do, although I'm not quite there yet. But that's, you know, whatever. That's just a process, you know. We make these imaginary numbers and these dates for when we think things are supposed to happen. And then what happens is that we conflate the amount of time that we've wasted with it was supposed to have happened already. And although, yes, the two may intertwine, but it's not a one-to-one correlation. The most important journey is that personal journey that make sure you are consistently self-aware and that you're staying teachable and that you're moving forward, right? I can admit that I have been in a stagnant place for some time. But that doesn't mean that there haven't been strides. You really have to give credence and credit to yourself for making those strides. Because the truth is, you can't do anything about the time that is wasted. And again, I've said before, time doesn't mean anything. Time is ticking. Time doesn't mean anything, but time is ticking, right? It doesn't mean as much as you think it does. You can't get time back. Yes, it is our most precious, asset. But the goal in life, since we're not perfect, is to kind of keep moving forward and keep recovering. And, you know, it's like, I think I gave the analogy before with suicides, right? The goal was to cut the recovery time between sprints, right? So in this case, your recovery, you need to cut the recovery time between, the efforts, the businesses, the books, the projects, the weight loss, right? From the time you fall off the wagon to the time you get back on. The goal is to cut the recovery time and to realize, quite frankly, when you're full of shit, when you are bullshitting. That's the goal. And that takes, listen, some people just get it, I remember struggling with, I wasn't the best student in college. I remember struggling with my roommate. He had this photographic memory. Didn't seem like he had to study for much or nothing, but it doesn't matter. That's to him. You have to worry about your own journey. You have to get to a point where you realize that, man, Rev Run said, and maybe this isn't his quote, but he's the one that I heard say it. He said, at some point, you're going to have to give up hope for a better yesterday. Jesus. Which just means you have your cards, move forward with them. And that's what I've been struggling with leading up to 40 is that, I felt like, and I'm just being honest and I'm not trying to, I just felt like I was, sometimes I'll be like, damn, God, really? I felt like I was dealt some bogus cards sometimes, but what can you do? You got to just keep moving. I saw somebody today that just literally didn't have the way that he moved his wheelchair was with his tongue to a phone screen. And that doesn't mean that our problems are any less real or significant because somebody else has it worse. But it just means that while I have these limbs, while I can jog, while I can work out and get better, you need to take advantage of that. So that's where I'm at right now. The only reason at all I'm feeling a way about 40 is because of that imaginary date that, I put in my head about when it was supposed to pop, even though I am making strides. Shit can happen any day now, but along with that, you got to work. And that's what I'm doing. Working on a lot of TV projects now, like on my own, independently. And I got a feature film that I'm writing. I've been writing for years, but I'm finally getting done with it. And it could be one of those ones in the next 2 years. I'm dead serious. It's called Homecoming. And if you know me, then you kind of have an idea about what this would be about. Only because I'm telling you, So anyway, I am a little scared about getting older. My 30s just blew by. I was 27 when I moved here. So I am a little, a little rattled. But I'm also hopeful. And I'm just focused. I'm more focused than I've ever been. I know what I want. And I, you know, I'm ready to attack tomorrow, you know, day one of 40, or day two rather. I'm ready to attack, you know, so whatever you're going through, man, just understand that, you got time. All right. Keep banging. I love it when you call me Big Papa. Hey, you ever notice at the end of, hey, go watch that video. And Puffy be like, tell your friends, get with my friends, and we can be friends. Shit, we can do this every weekend. That's all right? And he looks away. He turns back to, it's all right with you? Yeah. Keep banging. It's the funniest part. And they never used to bleep it. I guess because they couldn't understand what he was saying. Anyway, y'all. As always, I got one more small segment left. One more small segment left. Oh, you know what? No, I don't. I'm going to make this, I'm going to sign off here. I'm sorry. That was weird. I was getting ready to do another segment, but I'm just going to sign off here. Just so I can keep it solid. So as always, good people, you know, every day you have the opportunity, at every moment you have the opportunity to move forward into growth or fall back into comfort. I hope you choose wisely. I love you all. Thank you for your support. Thank you for the new listeners. Thank you for everybody who's got something positive or negative to say. Like, I appreciate feedback. I'm still going to continue to tweak this podcast. Me and Big Dave thought of this great. Well, he thought of this great idea, and we were just throwing some good ideas around for another podcast, and we're going to hit y'all in the face with sometime in the future. Everything's looking up. Let's get it. What are you going to do to celebrate my birthday where you are? Once again, on Tuesday, November 15th, at around 7:42 p.m. at St. Anthony's Hospital in Michigan City, Indiana, a bouncing baby boy named David Earl Ashley was born to one David Earl Hildreth. Yes, my dad and I got the same first and middle name and different last name. Shut up. Judge your mama. And Francine Ashley, the world was changed on that day. You didn't know I was going to be in your life then, did you? You didn't know how much I was going to affect your life, did you? Damn it. I'm out of here. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Hey, shout out to Lisa. Lisa Hill. My little cuz, same birthday as me, Matthew. I see you, Matthew, out there in South Carolina, same birthday, November 15th, babies. Let's get it. Happy birthday.